Welcome to ClinFarm Pod. I'm Elena Webster, Deputy Managing Editor for the ASCPT family of journals. My guests today are Dr. Jane Knochel, Associate Director, Clinical Pharmacometrician at AstraZeneca, Dr. Zachary Taylor, Assistant Professor at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and Dr. Brian Firstlew, Director at Astellas Pharma Global Development. Asking these lovely people to join me for today's podcast isn't random. They're all current and former editors in training for the journal family, and I'm so pleased to sit down and chat with them about this incredible program. So Jane, Zach, Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Zach, let's start with you. What is the editor in training program? How would you define the EIT role?
Sure. So the editor in training program is a really excellent volunteer opportunity for early career members within ASCPT. And so it's a one-year training opportunity where you serve as an associate editor for one of the three ASCPT family journals. That's either going to be CPT, CTS, or PSP. And that's going to be based on your interest in your application. When you're an editor in training, you'll be asked to do some of the associate editor responsibilities. So you'll do things like read and review prospective submissions to that journal. You'll join journal meetings to discuss metrics and brainstorm special themes. And you'll also help disseminate published works through the social media platforms. And then throughout the entire training, you are receiving mentoring with the editor-in-chief of that journal. You're gaining insight into the whole publication process. And you get to network with really awesome editor-in-training members, as well as editorial board members and other associate editors.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach. Brian, since you were one of our original EITs, does this sound like the program you remember, or have things changed since your time with clinical and translational science? And I actually should mention here that Brian has now rejoined the CTS editorial team as an associate editor.
Yeah, thanks, Elena. It sounds very similar to what we went through. We were the inaugural class, and so our class was a little bit longer than a year long. While that we got things started up and then figured out how we were going to do that. One thing that I would add to Zach's response is within the EIT program, there is an emphasis not just on learning the back end of publishing, learning the associate editor tasks, but also a focus on peer review and what that is and what is a good, what goes into a good review. And so the networking that you get with the editor in training, the editor in chief, the deputy editor in chief is not just about editorial issues, but also about the peer review process in itself.
Great point, Brian. Thank you. Jane, what do you remember about the application interview processes? What advice would you give early career members planning to apply for the 2024-2025 term?
Well, that's a good question, Elena. So I recall the whole process as incredibly pleasant, to be honest. Timelines were clear, and every interaction was really handled with utmost professionalism. So I really had a very good experience in the application and interview process. And for future EITs, what I have as a key advice points is really to think about how your expertise fits into the journal focus. Carefully choose the journal that aligns best with your kind of background that you bring to the journal, to the journal, so to say. And also be transparent about your experience with social media and reviews, because it doesn't matter if you have never done it before, because this is what the role is also for, to actually give you an insight into it. So these steps will help you navigate this journey smoothly and successfully.
Great. Thank you. And one thing I would add, if you're wondering about which journal to apply to, go ahead and check out the journal scope, maybe their keywords, and see how that matches up with your expertise and areas of interest. So how about the rest of you? Any advice to share? Zach, how about you?
Yeah, so I would echo a lot of what Jane said. My biggest recommendation is doing your homework on which journal I think best aligns with some of the scientific background that you have, some of the training that you have, because you really want to make sure that you are committing your effort towards a journal that aligns with your scientific background. That way, some of the submissions that are provided to you, you are a bit more comfortable in digesting, and it's topics that you are familiar with.
Excellent. Thanks, Zach. Brian, anything to add?
I would recommend to leverage your network. ASCPT is a relatively small group of people, and within your network, I'm sure that you have access to an editor-in-chief, a deputy editor-in-chief, one of the journal staff. one of the previous editors in training. Anybody and everybody would be certainly glad to talk to you about the different programs and the different journals, try to help you figure out which one might be best fit for your expertise as well as learning goals.
And if I actually may add, Brian brings up a great point of contacting other EITs. I did something very similar prior to my application process to gain a little bit more insight, not just into the application itself, but some of the responsibilities of an EIT and what I could expect to get out of this training opportunity. And so I welcome any potential applicants to reach out to us as well. We'd be happy to provide resources as well as our own experiences.
Yeah, on that note, I also have that same experience. I also reached out to Iris Minishmaya before, and I already have some people reaching out to me. So like, feel free to just reach out if you have any questions.
That's great, you guys. Thank you. And if it's okay with you, I might go ahead and share your LinkedIn profiles in the description of this episode so people can find you on there. So, Brian, you unfortunately never got to experience the ASCPT annual meeting as EITs, but Jane and Zach, you did. Did your EIT role impact your meeting experience?
Yeah, so the EIT role, I think, was actually pretty impactful to my meeting experience this year in Colorado Springs. When I first showed up, I saw that there were several EIT advertisements that had our pictures displayed throughout the meeting. So it was really cool to kind of gain familiarity with the public so they could see me and see my face on the EIT billboard and know that I'm part of that program. But I was also able to meet in person with several other editorial board members that I've met with virtually. I got to meet several ASCPT staff members like Elena at the meeting, which was really great. And then I also got to sit down and have lunch with both Deanna and John that are part of the editor-in-chiefs of the CTS Journal. So it was really great to shake their hands, have some of those mentoring sessions that we normally have virtually in person, and just chat with them a bit more scientifically, but also just person to person. And so I had a really awesome experience at ASCPT this year because of the EIT role. And I had really exciting chats with many interested persons as well.
Yeah, I can only echo what Zach was saying, but it was really an amazing meeting for me as well. I mean, for me, becoming an EIT was actually the main reason why I decided to join this year's ASCPT annual meeting. Because, I mean, since I'm based in Europe, it makes traveling to the US or US conferences in general a bit of a challenge. However, like being an EIT made this experience absolutely incredibly rewarding. So as Jack was saying, like meeting everyone in person, having these like really personal interactions was really valuable to me. And I also really felt valued as a member of ASCPT there already. And I knew that I was really actively contributing to the meeting and the organization. That felt really great. For me, this really overall was a truly enhancing experience.
Well, I will say that all three of you are very valued members of ASCPT. And it was absolutely wonderful to be able to meet Jane and Zach in person. It makes me so excited when I get to actually talk to people in person that I have only met online. So thanks for coming. We hope you'll join us for future meetings. Aside from the day-to-day editorial teamwork, I think one of the biggest benefits of the EIT program is the special projects, themed issues, etc., that editors in training participate in. What above and beyond work did you do for the journals, and what was that experience like?
For me, it was a really great experience to be able to contribute to our current themed issue, so pregnancy and lactation in CPT-PSP, together with Andre Dahlmann, where we successfully brought together quite a broad and diverse panel of co-authors and really contributed with a key perspective for this special themed issue. And additionally, it was also just an opportunity to pitch the suggestion for next year's special issue for PSP, where I'm going to be coming back as a guest or editor. So I'm really psyched for that one, too.
You pitched so well. You were so enthusiastic about it. It was really fun to watch. And I'm so glad that your theme was selected. Brian, what did you do for CTS that was a little bit outside the day-to-day?
Yeah, so for me, outside of day-to-day was, and remember, I was an EIT, 3-4 years ago. And so for us, it was evaluating social media and how that could be leveraged to increase the exposure of all three of the journals, but specifically for CTS for me, to the greater clinical pharmacology community. We took kind of a two-pronged approach, posting on LinkedIn, given that's the more professional of them, as well as at the time posting on Twitter, which is now X, I suppose, to try to see if that was an avenue that the clientele of ASCBT would engage with and enjoy in their news feeds. And then the final thing that we looked at was using alternative metrics for how well that our manuscripts are performing and being viewed, not just so much with other citations, which is the impact factor, but also with downloads, with commentary and newsreels, with repostings on social media sites, and how that might be leveraged within the journals to identify content that is really of interest, not just to clinical pharmacology, but now to the greater population as well.
Yeah, Brian, I think you were largely responsible for introducing the concept of altmetrics to the CTS editorial team. And it's still something that John asks about all the time. So thank you for that. Zach, what have you done for CTS this year?
Yeah, so CTS does something really unique that the other two journals don't necessarily focus on, and that is the CTS's student and training spotlight. And so I have helped continue the student and training spotlight this year that I think Stephanie Stansel may have started back when she was in EIT. And fun fact, Stephanie actually reached out to me during her EIT role to spotlight me. So I feel like it is now my duty to continue to disseminate really great scientific pieces that other students and trainees within ASCPT are serving as firsts and co-authors on. Aside from that, we've recently kind of announced our upcoming special themes topics. And one of those topics is in the pipeline for next year's special theme that I'm very, very excited about.
Yeah, that that student trainee spotlight is something that sets CTS apart from the other journals in terms of social media presence. And I think it's a really great way to recognize student and trainee authors. And obviously, Zach, having been recognized, made an impact on you. And we've refined the process now into something that I think works really pretty well. So I'm hoping to see that continue as well. Brian and Jane, why would you encourage others to apply for the editor and training program? And I should just note here that if you've applied previously and you weren't selected, you are absolutely urged to reapply. We've had previous EITs who didn't get an interview the first time go on to be selected and during the next round. Brian, let's start with you.
I would encourage people to apply if they're looking for a way to become more involved with ASCBT in general. Of course, it's more involved with a journal itself, but observing how that the journal staff work with the journals, how that the associate editors and editors-in-chief work with ASCBT general, and how that the machine works together can be very enlightening to show you, you know, what part of this, you know, volunteer service that you're providing might be most interesting to you, especially if you're interested in getting more involved.
Thanks, Brian. Jane, why do you think people should apply?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Brian already brought some really good points there. For me, it's really a unique development opportunity. Like no other journal actually, or like that I know of, has this. And it is really a unique opportunity that can boost your scientific confidence, enhances your experience with peer reviewers. You get like unique insight into manuscript decision-making and just in general offers you valuable insight into journal strategy. I mean, all of that Zach was saying before, but just, you know, bringing it to a point, because that's for me the reason why I did it.
I agree. I think it is a very unique program. We have heard of a few journals offering programs like this now, but I do think we may have been one of the first societies to offer something like this. And it kind of goes along with the same thing that we talk about when we talk about the ASCBT Leadership Accelerator, which we launched this last year. It really is about training the leaders that you want to see in the future and really helping people to develop their skills so that they can join editorial teams, they can join editorial boards, and they know how to review, they know how to suggest good content and good ideas. So, I mean, it's really just as beneficial to the journals themselves as it is to people who participate in the EIT program. So, Zach, what's one unexpected benefit of the program that you weren't anticipating?
There's actually several unexpected benefits. I'll try to limit it, I guess, to just two. And the first, Brian actually touched on a little earlier, and it's the review process. My ability to now be a reviewer for ASCPT, CPT, and CTS, and PSP, I think has significantly improved. Not just my review format, using major and minor revision suggestions, but also being able to understand and how to convey scientific critique in a way that is both constructive and beneficial for the associate editor, but also the authors that are going to be reviewing it. And I would say that's probably definitely the biggest unexpected benefit. It's also helped my writing style a lot. Being able to read and reflect on how other authors are talking about their findings has certainly allowed me to hone my craft and how I've now discussed my methods in my discussion section a lot.
Great. Thanks, Zach. And finally, would anyone like to share a favorite memory or experience? It's a little cheesy, I know, but one, I am not above cheesy. And two, I still think they're fun to hear.
So during our first CTS meeting, one of our icebreakers, I think, was what like cartoon you most resonate with. And I said the Magic School Bus because it was, like Miss Frizzle was really, it got me into science because of how she approached some of those scientific topics in a very fun, lighthearted way. And once I said that, the looks on everybody's faces kind of resonated and they remembered the Magic School Bus, which I thought was really cool.
That was a fun one. Anyone else have favorite memories to share?
Yeah, I can go next. One of my favorite memories was the last in-person meeting we had before COVID. Looking back, it was a fun experience to think back during the height of virus spreading, and really thinking back and saying, I really enjoyed those times of downtime, the icebreakers that Zach's talking about. The, hey, let's go have a drink after we're done here and get to know, each other more on a personal level. So that was one of my favorite memories from it.
I would agree with that, Brian. I actually, unfortunately, have never met Brian in person because I started with ASCPT right before COVID hit. But I will say there is something to those in-person interactions. And we try and replicate it a bit in our virtual meetings as well. And it's a really great way to grow your network in a way that I don't think would be possible without this program. So any other final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Make sure to apply.
Yes.
And Elena, excellent. When is the application due date?
So the application due date is June 20th by end of business Eastern time. So I don't know, 5, 6 p.m. As long as it's in my inbox by the time I log in on Friday morning on June 21st, you should be good. And if you have any questions about the program, as Jane and Brian and Zach said, please feel free to reach out to them. Also, feel free to reach out to me. My email will be in the description of this episode. So we really do hope that you will consider applying for this excellent opportunity. I just want to thank you all so much for joining me here today. This has been fantastic. It's been really fun for me just to hear about your experiences with the EIT program, because while it was not my idea necessarily, it has become my baby. And I love getting to work with all of you every single year, although it's always very sad to say goodbye to each of you when your term ends. So it's great to reconnect with Brian today and also to chat with Zach and Jane. As we said, the call for applications closes on June 20th, so please do send your one-page letter of interest and your CV to me at alaina@ascpt.org. That's alaina@ascpt.org. If you have any questions, please do feel free to contact any of us. Thank you for listening to ClinPharm Pod. Be sure to check out past episodes while you're here, and remember to visit ascpt.org for updated podcast releases, our latest webinars, and the most recent issue of all three journals.